On our way to the book of Ephesians, I'd like for you to take your Bibles and go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, please. There's a Greek term I'm going to use tonight. I'm tickled. I just, you know, when it comes to seeing what God has done in lives, I praise God for that. I just rejoice in that. All right, we need the Lord's help. Amen? We need the Lord's help. Heavenly Father, we're coming to you and we're asking for help. We rejoice that you give it. We are so thankful. Your Spirit is here. Lord, we do not desire to grieve your Spirit. We want to, as we have talked about in the morning service, now for the last 2-3 weeks, we want to read and retain. We want to examine and evaluate. We want to apply. We want to pray and persevere. Lord, help us to do that, I ask, in Christ's name. Amen. In the light of what we are looking at, when it comes to the helmet of salvation, I want to remind you of something. The Apostle Paul was writing his last letter, and it's going to a young preacher man by the name of Timothy. Timothy, it is thought, was having some challenges when it came to being a pastor. There were some things that were disconcerting to him. People say he was fearful, etc., etc. But there is a specific verse that the Apostle Paul wasn't just simply talking to Timothy about fear. I want you to look at verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of, what? Fear. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. I was reading Adam Clark, and Adam Clark made an interesting observation. He believes that when Paul was talking about the fear here, he was alluding back. Remember, we're talking to Jews, and especially in the book of Hebrews, obviously to Jews, and which we had alluded to last week. But anyway, when it came to this right here, he was alluding to when Moses was up on the mount. Remember that? And the Jews were afraid. When the gospel came, it did not come with thunder and lightning. It came with the love of Christ, right? He's saying, look, God hasn't given us that now that was at one time. First of all, we have power because we have the Holy Spirit. We have love because we have the grace of God in Christ. But then he said we have a sound mind. Now, that phrase, sound mind, alludes to discipline. But it's so much more. When it comes to what we have in Christ, it alludes to this, that everything is working together. That here in Christ, it's not just our thinking, but it's how the Spirit guides, it's how we live our lives. In other words, we truly are perfected in Christ. Now, with that thought in mind, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians, again, chapter 6. We're talking about the helmet of salvation. Need to get back to my notes here. And there we go. Remember, we had mentioned this last week. Let the mind of the master be the master of your mind. That's what we're talking about in the spirit of 2 Timothy 1:7. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And in doing that, with the spirit that is from Christ, the Holy Spirit. See, you can wind up having, quite honestly, what the end result, we hope and pray, of a program, for instance, like RU is. Because we're growing, and then growing some more, and growing some more. You're letting the Word of God permeate, the Spirit of God guide. You are praying, and you're persevering. You're beginning with reading, but retaining. I'm remembering this. Remember the Hebrew Christians, what we had talked about. The Hebrew Christians felt like they were living in a strange land. Here they were, they had trusted Christ as Savior, who, by the way, oh yes, is the Messiah for the Jews, but the Jews as a nation rejected him. However, these people trusted him. So here they are. The Jews hate them because they trust in Messiah. They trust in, to them, you know, was this man that was, no, that's not him. He's, all of a sudden, I can't think what the word is. He's an imposter. The Gentiles don't want them because they're Jews. Now, we're starting to understand what that is a little bit like, because more and more we are feeling like strangers in our own homeland. Suddenly, we are being marginalized to the point where we're breaking the law just living out Christ, just preaching the word. And now we have chaplains in the military and in the prisons and elsewhere that are being challenged. There are certain sins you can't call sin. We live in strange times. These people lived in strange times. The people in Ephesus, they lived in strange times. They have trusted Christ as Savior, but what's happened? Now in Ephesus, wow, they're looking strange. This is what the gospel of Christ does. We wind up understandably, we wind up changing. I praise God for the change. I don't want to be the same person I was a year ago. I don't want to be the same person I was 6 months ago, except I'm going, as it were, this way, and the world's going this way. So, what is it that we need to identify with? Well, when it comes to us, sometimes we think, well, maybe we shouldn't be so different. Well, it's the Lord that's guiding it. These Jews, it was the same thing. They wondered, in the book of Hebrews, he alludes to this, Paul alludes to this, that they wondered if they'd taken on, you know, too much too soon. They were getting discouraged again. They were wondering about what kind of people are they like? And so the apostle Paul, he had to, through his epistles, he had to encourage believers at this time, and in doing so, say, look, again, let the mind of the master be the master of your mind. Let me give you a few verses that we have alluded to down through the years. Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Do you remember the verse? Life and peace. That was Romans 8:6, if you're writing this down. For to be carnally minded, what does it mean to be carnally minded? Worldly? Exactly. Fleshly? We are not that anymore. But wait a minute, he says this, for to be carnally minded is death. That word death simply means separation. When we're giving the gospel to somebody, we explain that. When a person dies, they separate from their body. When we sin, we separated from God. When you are living that kind of a life, you're living separately from what you have in Christ. So to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Romans 12:2, we know this, and be not conformed, what? To this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I was talking to Mike Kelly. He just stepped out. I was talking to Mike Kelly this afternoon about why I use this one Bible. Ever since I've been an adult, I've had basically two Bibles. One I call my construction Bible. My daughter Heather has it now. It's a Thompson chain. I used it for years, and I had it in my dump truck. I had it in my work truck and stuff like that. And then when I was teaching in Christian school, I wound up getting this wide margin Nelson. I like it because down through the years, I put notes. You know, you do the same thing. You put little notes in. I want to show you one of the notes in the verse that I just read. Some of you have heard this. Some of you have not. So I'm going to share it with you now. I was telling Mike that one of the things that really got me going when I was in my early mid-20s is I enjoyed doing word studies. I wasn't married at the time. I come home after I shower and all that stuff. What am I going to do? So I had A.T. Robertson. I got a set of A.T. Robertson. I got a Strong's. I got a theological word book of the Old Testament. I got Wiest, and I would do word studies. I want you to take your Bibles and go to Romans 12, please. Go to Romans 12, and I want to show you one thing that we studied on the concrete crew, and it was great, and I've got these notes in here. What does it mean? Look at it. Verse Let's start with verse 1. Again, we're talking about changing the mind, renewing the mind, growing the mind. This is what the helmet of salvation is all about. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present a once and for all act, your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. You see that? Let me give you a little hint on that. That word conformed is the same word that translates transformed in 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. It's where Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. Now watch this. This is what that word means. The act of changing the outward expression of that which inwardly remains the same. Notice, and be not conformed to this world. Are you born again?
Amen.
Okay, this is what he says you don't do. You don't take yourself and make yourself be something on the outside that you're not on the inside. What are you on the inside? Saved? Let me ask you something. Have you been purified? You know, sin, right? Amen? All right, you're in Christ, correct? Amen? Okay, so he says, look, don't be a diamond in a Dixie cup. In other words, you're going to take something that is really precious and put it in junk. Don't do it. Be not conformed to this world. Look at the next phrase. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word transformed there, if you go to Matthew 17, and I'd ask that you don't do that at this time, it was when Peter, James, and John were with Christ. And the Bible says he was transformed before them. This is where that word transformed comes from. It's two Greek words. The first one means showing on the outside what you are on the, what you truly are on the inside. And then a second word that simply means a change of activity. What it means then is, for instance, when Christ was on the Mount of Transfiguration, that all of a sudden Peter, James, and John saw Christ for who he really was. His glory shone, right? Remember? His glory shone. He transformed himself. He was transformed, I should say, before them. There was a change of activity. All of a sudden, I mean, he is showing his deity. All right? That's what it means here. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, question. How is it? This is why the helmet of salvation is so important. How is it that we are transformed more and more into the likeness of Jesus Christ on the outside? How is it done? By the renewing of the mind. You catch that? By the renewing of the mind. For that reason, we get into the Word of God because more and more we become like Him. Let's go to another passage. 2 Corinthians 12:5. Very, very important passage. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity, this is 2 Corinthians 12:5, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now look, you've got the same kind of mind that I've got. It can scatter, it can go different places, all of a sudden, just like that. You will have situations where all of a sudden, the worst of thoughts will come into your mind. They're junk thoughts. You know what you do with junk? Somebody tell me what you do with trash. Oh, I put it up on a display and I just, there it is. No, what do you do with it? You throw it out. You know what you do with a junk thought? Throw it away. Yeah, but wait a minute. I can't believe I thought that. Don't tell me that. You're in flesh. You're going to think stuff and it's like, oh my soul, what in the world? Hey, just leave it and you move on. Leave it and you move on. You don't dwell. Listen, if you dwell on it and Satan gets you to kicking yourself, guess what? He's defeated you. Casting down imaginations, the equivalent of throw it away. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Look what people in RU are taught to do. Those habits, those thoughts, the whole smack, get rid of them, get rid of them, get rid of them. I can imagine, you know, there are disciplines that we have to stop and think about when it comes to, for instance, say, medicine. I am so glad that when I went in to get my knee replacement, they didn't slice my knee open. Of course, I wasn't awake at the time. And the doctor looked down and go, now, how do you do this? I'm so glad that my right foot is still facing forward. I'm so glad that when they put it in, that they didn't get too big a one, so I stand like this because this leg is now 3 inches longer than this leg. I'm so glad that somebody knew what they were talking about or that what they were doing. How did they get there? There's a discipline in medicine, right? There's a discipline in how to learn and how to fly an airplane. There's a discipline in how to work on something. There is a discipline in how to think. And we can do it. You just don't stumble into it. It's determined. You read and you retain. You evaluate, you examine, you apply, apply, apply. And when you're first learning medicine, praise God, that's when you want a cadaver around to be able to, you know, work on that. Anyway, I'm not going to dwell on that. Ephesians 4. Go to Ephesians 4. Verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. That's those thoughts that come in. Hey, put it off, put it off, put it off. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Same writer, the spirit of your mind, Paul knew what he was talking about, and that ye put on as a garment, ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Sometimes I'll get on Drudge Report. If I really wanted to get discouraged, I'll get on Drudge Report. You know, according to Drudge Report, the world should have exploded last Tuesday. I mean, you know, just, there's all kinds of bad news. I mean, there are times you just get to singing a little bit more seriously, this world is not my home. You know, praise God, this isn't the end. Glory, it's not going to get any worse than this for the believer. Sadly, we have neighbors, friends, co-workers, and family. This is the best that they can accept, or that they can expect, I should say. And when I go down to the Capitol this week, I'll pass areas where there are people that literally live in the garbage. And it is so sad because of choices made. There truly, brethren, but for the grace of God, amen, there's us. Hey, let's rejoice in what we have in Christ. Amen? Seriously, let's do that. Hey, Philippians 4:8, turn to it if you would. This is really, really important. Philippians 4:8. I'm going to get through this as quickly as I can. Because of RU today, I feel like I've been stuck in sixth gear the whole day. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are, can I? Okay, glad. I'm glad. You're reading. Larry, very good. Can I encourage you to do something? Get a Strong's Concordance. Get a Vine's Expository Dictionary of New and Old Testament Words. Look these up. Just look the words up. Look them up. In fact, you can do that on computer if you so choose. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now look, I have been to this point, and when it terrifies me when I think about this, there are people that come, they get to a point where they feel like there is so much discouragement, there's so much depression in there. I'm not kidding. You feel like your mind is attacking you. I have been there. You feel like your mind is attacking you. And I'm the pastor while I'm going through this. There were some times the church didn't realize just how rough it was. I mean, it was bad. What it takes is you don't quit. You just keep feeding little by little, because the strongholds that we read about, that he spoke to the church at Corinth, they go up brick by brick. That's how they come down, brick by brick by brick. You don't put C4 on there and explode it. It comes down slowly, but it comes down. It comes down. All right. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. I'm not moving. I'm on the rock. Whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. Amen? All right. Think of how God's people get discouraged today. Praying for an unsaved family member or a friend who continues to reject the gospel. That gets discouraging. A child who refuses to follow the ways of the Lord and has been caught, he's been taught differently. You know, you don't do that. That gets common. A spiritual battle that goes on and on and on, sometimes for years. And you wonder, Lord, am I ever going to get victory here? Like we saw this morning in that poem. I love that poem. I think I'm going to put it in the bulletin next week that I read this morning. But the thing is we keep, Lord, is it ever going to end? We've got to realize we've already got the victory. We already have the victory. We need to respond as Paul did when the Lord was dealing with him. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. God is sufficient. Read, he's more than enough. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Think about that. The strength of the Lord is perfected in the weakness that we bear. In other words, he comes in, he doesn't say, hey, between my strength and your strength, we're going to have victory. No, he says, between my strength and your failure, we've got victory. Humanly speaking, that's crazy. But it's not. It's Scripture. He takes our weakness, and we are already feeling like a failure anyway. We come to him, and we say, Lord, I just don't have it. And he keeps trying to tell us, that's what I've told you. That's what I've told you. That's what I've told you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So the Apostle Paul responds in this way, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. He doesn't go around and sin and go, wow, think about that. Now let's see what God does. No, he says, I've got these weaknesses. I've got this need. I can't live this life without Christ. He says, I'm going to glory in that infirmity, that I can't do this. I was learned under Gamaliel. I knew all these things. I kept the law, but the things that I did, I count but dung that I may win Christ. That's really a statement. That is really a statement. He says, I would rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, isn't that what we want? The power of Christ cannot rest on somebody that's trying to do it in their own power. Just don't happen. Can't happen. Won't happen. That is not how God's economy is. The deceptions in a man's mind, in man's mind, I should even put it like that, are absolutely mind-boggling, no pun intended. Think about this. We can put a man on the moon. We can orbit a space station. We can split the atom. We can delve into the genetic code, I mean DNA, the whole smack. But we look at creation and cannot see the obvious. Design, boo-boo, explosion. You know, because of the opposable thumb, it just kind of came along. That's crazy. But you take mankind and you put him, you inject that sin, that stain of sin. And this is what he winds up thinking about. Think about this. Rather than being free in Christ, there are millions of Americans that would rather be enslaved to the government. Take care of me from birth to death, and I'm yours forever. That is absolutely nuts. The Christian, different. The Christian is not so. In the Scripture, stop and think about what we are called. Runners, fighters, soldiers, doers of good deeds, opponents of Satan, seekers after holiness, so much more. When it comes to what we wind up being tempted to think when we're being affected by Satan, we wind up being paralyzed. We wind up being unproductive, miserable. It brings an insecurity. And yet here's Christ, and just like in John 14, He comes and He says, hey, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then He comes with this promise in John 16. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye might in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We know these scriptures. But I can give first-hand testimony to knowing the word up here, but not resting in it here. Can some of you join me in that? This is why we have the renewing of the mind. We have a hope. We have a living hope, and we rejoice in that. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Almost done. 1 Peter chapter 1. Listen to this. You talk about what we have in Christ. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again. We are born again. We are renewed. We are new creatures. Again, unto a lively hope. That is actively alive. It's not static. It moves, it lives. That's us in Christ. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Watch this. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know who I just read? Who was the guy that got out of the boat? Peter. I just read Peter. Now, was Peter ready to write something like that a day after he got out of the boat? He wasn't, was he? No, there is a change that is going on. Welcome to Christian growth. Welcome to the challenge today that helps me by God's grace grow tomorrow. Welcome to the time where I have to sit back and I have to pray myself through something. Persevere through severity. Welcome to it. Welcome to the situation where sometimes, because of weakness, people find stuff out about us that at one time might have been embarrassing. But praise God, at another time, people are rejoicing because we realize we're all in this together. And it's going to get far more interesting before we're with Him. But again, this is the helmet of salvation. This is that which God gives us that we put on. This is our thinking. And this is what this is talked about. In Jude, this is good. Oh, I like this. Jude 1:1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Do you hear that word preserved? The Greek word means to guard, keep watch over, and protect. Guard, keep watch over, and protect. Now, read it again. To them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. Do you realize our God and Savior keeps watch over us, He guards us, and He protects us? Do I hear an amen? That's what helps us. No wonder toward the end of Jude, Jude could write this, "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy." Do you hear that? "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling." Now there is a good outcome in an RU program. Except it's not just the program, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we don't worship a program, we worship Him. Amen? See, we don't glorify RU, we glorify the Lord. This is just a tool. This is the thing that gets us into the Word that helps us realize this is what we've got. That the strongholds can come down. That Christ can grow. Excuse me, Christ can be lifted up in us, I should say. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Every year, when my wife and I were in Bible college, they would read these two verses at the very end of the year when the year would come to a close. Folks, one of these days, life is going to come to a close. What we did in Christ is because of Christ. And we will look back and give rejoicing. We might not have been everything we could have been, but we will have to admit this, that whatever was done rightly was done because He kept us from falling. He kept us strong. There's a song, "The Church is One Foundation," that has a stanza that goes like this. "Mid toil and tribulation and tumult of her war, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore. Till with the vision glorious, her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest." It's coming. But until then, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. That thought is what needs to remain up here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'd guide now in this award time. We are thankful that You can renew our, that You are the one that renews our minds. We look to You, the author and finisher of our faith. You give us this to do, and it happens. We are Your workmanship. Lord, we're thankful for all that we have in Christ. Help us to meditate on these things, to read, go over it again and again, examine ourselves, and apply and persevere. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.